If your job at a healthcare facility includes disinfecting against viruses, you know prevention is the best medicine. And maintaining healthy spaces starts with a healthy cleaning routine. Grainger's world-class supply chain helps ensure you have the quality products you need when you need them. From disinfectants and cleaning supplies to personal protective equipment, so you can help deliver a clean bill of health. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. I am Sean Ross Sapp. It is March 19th, 2025. We have your AEW Dynamite review. We got a bunch of exclusive news. We got all that good stuff. Leave a thumbs up. Drop a fruit emoji if you're here live in the chat. But if you want those questions or statements answered, get your super chats in. Get your humper chats in. We will tell you more about that momentarily. Today on Fightful Select, we had a piece of news that had the wrestling world talking about Sting, Lex Luger, and the possibilities surrounding that maybe becoming a reality for WWE Hall of Fame weekend. I'm interested for us to discuss that and some of the other details surrounding that, because there's a lot to it, quite honestly. We've got Alex Palowski here. You can see him on Mondays on Fightful Select and Saturdays. And then after every pay-per-view on Fightful Select, reviewing a little bit of everything. Alex, how you doing?
I'm doing a lot better than Jon Moxley's back.
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah, we'll have an update on that on FightfulSelect.com as well. Best $6 in the business. Again, if you like the Q&A format, today you were in luck, because Jimmy Van didn't show up for work, so I answered questions for an hour. Spent a lot of time talking about John Cena's promo on The Hump. But if you like the Q&A format, guess what? I do it nonstop at Fightful Select. You can ask us questions direct, get a lot of details behind the biggest stories in wrestling. FightfulSelect.com, our Discord is where it's at. We'll have a lot of updates, an AEW heavy update tomorrow. But Alex, today we had one that I'm very interested in our audience and their feelings on, because naturally, Lex Luger, a long overdue Hall of Fame induction, but everybody wants Sting to induct him. He wants Sting to induct him. Diamond Dallas Page brought it up. Sting is under a WWE deal, or an AEW deal rather, after his retirement. They've got him on a Legends merchandising type deal. We had reported, and then it was within minutes of each other, I don't know which one dropped first, but WrestleCon had Sting coming in for one day. And then it expanded to two or three. Usually there's a reason for something like that. And I had reported on Fightful Select that if WWE hadn't made overtures, they were planning on it. And that being towards possibly having Sting induct Lex Luger. Now, I am very conflicted on this, Alex, because Lex Luger was not allowed to appear on screen during Sting's retirement. Conrad Thompson had elaborated on this while also tweeting something that I rather agreed with. And listen, Conrad is probably as right down the middle on this type of thing as you can get, because one of his podcast hosts is one of the most influential people in WWE, in Bruce Pritchard. And he does stuff with JBL, who was heavily included in WWE. But he says, that he hopes that Sting can go there and do it because of Lex, but says, let's see. Hey, I know we counter-programmed your stadium show with the free Saturday night's main event and booked a whole tour around your London show, but can we borrow one of your talent for our thing? It defies all logic to even entertain the idea of helping us, but it'd be cool if you did. Alex, that is a very good point. WWE moved their SmackDown in Texas to 5 days after All In. They will, or 6 days after All In, they are almost certainly going to run a Saturday night's main event live show in Texas against this. Forbidden Door now has a WWE European tour completely surrounding it in the UK. I understand that business is business, and I just think it's corny. I'm just like, I just think it's lame. I think it's weird. Yeah. I think it's...
Well, they announced, I think, last week that they're doing the NXT play on the same night as Double or Nothing.
Sure.
Like, yeah. Just so, like, it's just a thing that they, the thing that they do now, you know, it's just, yes. It's just what they do.
It's just what they do. They like fucking with AEW. And listen, it had been like this for quite a while, but certainly under the Nick Khan regime, it's definitely become a thing. Yeah. This is something that Vince did very, very early on in the '80s and throughout the '80s as well. It's a tactic that they liked. Now, I don't know how formal or intricate the overtures may or may not be, but if you're AEW and Tony Khan, there's no real way you can win. Like, either you say no and you're a giant dick for saying no, or you do it and it's like, well, WWE didn't afford you the same
right
privilege. They couldn't use WWE footage in that retirement video. I would be saying, maybe don't run up against All In, and then maybe we'll do it. I know Sting has told some people that he doesn't think he'll be able to do it.
Here's the deal. This isn't about WWE, and it's not about AEW. It's about Lex Luger, and it's about Sting.
Yep.
It's about two old buddies, and Lex Luger fighting through everything he's fought through to be alive. To finally go into the WWE Hall of Fame, like they're finally doing it now. They built an entire bus tour around that guy. He body slammed Yokozuna on the deck of an aircraft carrier, like while wearing U.S. flag hammer pants. Like that gets you in while you're still an active wrestler, basically. So now finally, they're putting him in the Hall of Fame, and if he says, I would like Sting, my old pal, to induct me. And Sting wants to do that. And Sting goes to Tony Khan and says, I would like to be able to do this. I think Tony Khan should say to Sting, absolutely.
Yes.
And there doesn't have to be a mention of AEW anywhere in any of this. It's just Sting, who was Lex Luger's tag team partner and like best friend for years. Lex Luger wants the man, Sting, Steve Borden, his best friend, to induct him to the Hall of Fame, and Sting wants to do it, then you do it. And I mean, the people who are going to say, nah, you should say, screw the Fed, they suck. Well, to me, it's not about that. And also, I always favor trying to be the quote-unquote bigger man in all things. Because, like, what a petty, dumb thing you should do. You know what I mean? Like, to say, like, if it's just Steve Borden inducting Lex Luger into the Hall of Fame, what a wonderful thing to allow to happen. And then you move on from it. It doesn't change anything. And no, by the idea that you would be able to play hardball, like, move that show from Texas or else we're not going to let Sting induct. What the hell does WWE care? They'll just get Diamond Dallas Page to do.
If your job at a healthcare facility includes disinfecting against viruses, you know prevention is the best medicine. And maintaining healthy spaces starts with a healthy cleaning routine. Grainger's world-class supply chain helps ensure you have the quality products you need when you need them. From disinfectants and cleaning supplies to personal protective equipment, so you can help deliver a clean bill of health. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.
And won't affect their bottom line whatsoever. So you do it.
Yeah, they won't care.
Behind the sting, a guy who dove off of things in his 60s for you, Tony Khan. You just be the better man here, you know?
Yeah. Lead by example in that situation. And then more people will take a look at what WWE does. And they'll be like, yeah, they're kind of dicks for doing that. Because I know there's going to be a whole lot of people on that side of the coin that are like, well, it's business. It's corny as shit. That's what it is. It's corny.
Yeah.
It's lame. I don't have to like it. Like, listen, if you want to go online and like it all you want, you can.
Yeah.
But like, I remember what a wrestling monopoly was like and it sucked.
Yeah.
It was really bad. I was trying to convince myself that TNA was good for a while because of it. Like it was not good for wrestling. And that's, if WWE had their way, that's what they would have. Cody Anderson says, I get all the arguments against it, but it's not about AEW versus WWE for me. It's about Sting and Lex. TK should let Sting do it. Well, here's the thing. WWE absolutely did not let Lex do it last year. They did not let him appear on TV.
Right.
Same line.
And if, not again, the worst people on both sides are never going to be satisfied unless it's just to stick it to the other company. But how bad would they look in the court of public opinion, if there is such a thing, in retrospect? Sure. They wouldn't even let Lex Luger sit at ringside for Sting's final match when AEW will allow Sting to go and induct him into the Hall
of Fame.
Good point.
Jam Beard says, nice to see Luis isn't big time in this show like he did SGS last night. We have SGS doing their own super chats now, so Luis can focus a little bit more on Fightful Espanol. If you are a Spanish speaker, of which I imagine very few of you watching this are, we now have translated stories on a Fightful Select Espanol page for roughly the same price. But we also have the Fightful Espanol Twitter page that Luis is running. We're trying to grow that. Eventually, we're going to add some more content to it. Our good friend Vicky says, hey, SRS and Alex, wonder if TK will allow Sting to involve himself. What does everyone think? I think he wants to, but he's loyal to TK. Treated him well. Have my doubts. Thanks, SRS. I can tell you that he straight up told a viewer of Fightful, like over the last week, that he didn't think he'd be able to. That being said, and somebody corrected me, it wasn't from one night to 3 days. It's one night to two nights, or one day to 2 days, that Sting is now doing WrestleCon. One day in Wolfpack paint, one day in black and white, which, again, very cool. Very good idea. Last year of him doing those meet and greets in paint, by the way. But Love for Boost says, Stone Cold with his music for All In and advertising ahead of time, and I'd call it a deal. I mean, I don't know what kind of agreement Stone Cold Steve Austin has with WWE, but he had said something recently, like he hadn't been in touch with a lot of TKO people since the merger. And the last I had heard was that he had been pitched a match with Roman Reigns forever ago. It didn't end up happening. Mm-mm. If he hasn't been contacted by TKO, TK should be contacting him immediately to throw a stunner in Texas.
Why not?
Trying just to do it, just to pay him whatever money to do it. James Zimmerman sends a super chat and says, that show humped. What was the best match? Alex, I'll leave this one to you. What was the best match?
Oh man. It was a sprint, but for me, it touched all of my buttons, and I loved Will Ospreay and AR Fox. Like, that thing was just,
you get your buttons touched.
Man, it was so nice to have my buttons touched. That's
well, listen, if you are looking for a little extra help in touching those buttons, our friends at Blue Chew can help you out. Same ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but they work on your schedule, or maybe not on your schedule. Maybe you're having some trouble there. Get that main event performance with Blue Chew. I mean, you saw it tonight. There were some travel issues. There were some travel woes. You don't want some bedroom woes as well, but Will Ospreay stepped up. He said, I'm here. I'm ready to play. You want to be ready to play whenever your special someone is ready to play. And Blue Chew can make sure that happens. No waiting at the pharmacy, no awkward doctor's visits. It's prescribed online, and if approved, it ships straight to your door discreetly. You're not going to have Excalibur and Tony Schiavone saying Lord knows what, being all up in your business. No, not with Blue Chew. Blue Chew arrives discreetly, and when you take it, it's right into your bloodstream. It's a chewable. It's going to make sure that you're good to go. Even if you don't think you're good to go, sometimes it's about that confidence more than anything. You don't have to have a problem to need Blue Chew. But what you can do is go over to BlueChew.com, get that great deal that we've been promoting for years and years. For, gosh, 8 years now here at Fightful, we've been a part of the Blue Chew family. We've been getting you hard for 8 years. How about that? BlueChew.com. Jambeard says they didn't let Lex on TV. Wouldn't be surprised if WWE told a few others the same thing, because I know Nash didn't go because his loyalty to Triple H. Yeah, I hate that. I think that's lame. I think it's complete dork shit.
Because you know all these guys are friends in the business.
They're friends.
And like the stupid petty stuff between the companies shouldn't enter into it. I mean,
it doesn't exist with them. It only exists to online fans. It's like any time you go and you see Joe Burrow shake hands with Myles Garrett after a game. Listen, I'm not keen on Browns fans, but I'm not going to make my whole personality hating the Browns anymore. It's not a thing that the talent worries about. Yeah. Matthew Hooks of Hooked in Voiceover says WWE is a monopoly trying business. Screw them. Have always screwed over the competition. AEW should have WWE trade the creeds for the Outrunners. You can't do that. So when it comes to independent contractors, you can't trade them. Like, even when the UFC had a trade, Ben Askren for Demetrius Johnson, that's because those guys wanted to go. That's,
right.
And they signed new deals. They just agreed to rip up those deals, and the new contracts were contingent on those being signed.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's lame doing that. You can schedule a show whenever you want. I just think it's lame. I would think it was lame if AEW did it too.
Yeah.
I am Crush NC says best show all year. Not a single down point for me. Great show, stories and matches were insane. Watch DPW forever this weekend. Love y'all. Well, we love you too, but I also love this opening match. And I know it wasn't for some people, but I loved the finish because I didn't see that coming whatsoever. And I am very excited for AEW Dynasty at this point, because we're going to get Ricochet, Speedball, and Kenny Omega. There was a double pin, of which Ricochet snuck in on a backslide, put his feet up on the ropes, and also pinned Mark Davis along with Speedball. Before we talk about the body of the match, I kind of want to Tarantino it and go in reverse here. Only our commentary will be way better than a shitty Tarantino movie. What'd you think of the finish, Alex?
Hated it.
Really?
If you can do anything other than a double pin, do it. I hate double pins. I mean, like 98% of the double pins I've seen have felt like too clever by half. And I feel like I love that we're getting that triple threat. There's gotta be a different way to get there than the double pin with one guy's got his feet on the ropes. Like, it just I didn't like it at all. I loved the rest of the match. So if you want to go backwards, it only gets better better. But like, that's the thing to me, is the finish. I don't like double pins. I think that it's like, it feels like we want to do the triple threat, so we got to figure out a way to get there. And this is an option that you had. And to me, that's, I need to know what were the other options, because I'm sure one of them I would have liked more than a double pin with one guy having his feet on the ropes. That's just to me. But everybody else can love it or like it or not enjoy it. I hated it, but that's my problem. I have things wrong with my brain. So
Ricochet hopped on commentary at one point during this, which I think is great. Like, he's getting to show way more character than he and personality than he ever did in WWE. Mark Davis was there to base for a lot of these guys, especially
he was doing
Orange.
Great stuff. I really
he was great.
His match with Mark Briscoe was like, oh, okay, we got another big hoss that can do really good singles mid card work. We need more of those guys, and he was excellent in that match
for sure. Loved it. So he was a wonderful base for these three guys as well, especially Orange Cassidy, who is in that spot where he's had so many pushes. Like, now it's time for other people, but he's also being protected in some sense because he's the one person that didn't factor into this decision in the match. Speedball is one of those guys that you always wonder, how will he translate? You know, he'll be able to do it in the ring. Mm-hmm. Well, as it turns out, he is going to translate absolutely perfectly. Listen, man, I taught striking for a number of years in Maysville, Kentucky. This guy's technique is the best in pro wrestling, bar none. The best striking technique in pro wrestling belongs to Speedball Mike Bailey. Not only that, he's gotten leaner, so he's even faster. He's even crisper. I love the spot with Orange Cassidy holding the stunner, and then Speedball came through with the knees. Really, really great stuff. This was a fantastic match. Mr. Bandana Head says, so happy for Speedball. Hope they continue to get over. Give me the three-way into my veins. SGS for life. Get Fightful Select for Sour Graps. The best takes. If you like that sort of thing, sure, buddy.
I mean, it's an acquired taste.
Jam Beard says, the other way they could have done it would have also been good. Speedball pinning Davis while Ricochet pins OC at the very same time. You could have at least then said, okay, these two guys are eliminated. Now you face each other. I actually like the way they did it.
Going back to when they announced this, they called it a tournament, and I just saw the bracket. These two guys face each other. These two guys face each other. So I assumed the winners would then face each other, and then the winner of that would face Omega. And if you had done it that way, you have Ricochet and Mike Bailey face each other in the semifinals or the finals of that tournament, and then go to a time limit draw, and they're both in. Kenny Omega comes out and says, that was an amazing match. I can't wait to face you both. And that to me gets you. If the thing is, you got to find a way to get all three of them in the same match, there are other ways to get there than what I perceive to be a bit of a too clever finish. But that's
fair. It's okay to be wrong, Alex. It's all right.
It is. Tony
P sends in the best idea I've heard. And again, I'll say this. This will never happen. Stone Cold Steve Austin will never be at All In. I wish, but no. But he says TK should pay Austin whatever he wants to answer the Max Caster Open Challenge at All In.
That's it. That's it.
That's the one.
That's the one.
And listen, here's the big thing. How do you do his theme music? Because you can have glass shattering. WWE doesn't own glass shattering.
No.
Maybe you hire Disturbed.
You have Disturbed come out and they play it live.
or even anything. Just let them be like, can we have one of your songs? Anything like that. I'm sure Mikey Ruckus could honestly kick something up. But
oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
James Zimmerman says, if Mike Bailey is the best striker, who's second? Give me a little bit of time to ponder on that, James, because you're putting me on the spot here. I'll say this. Mike Bailey is heads and shoulders above everybody else.
Yeah.
Brian more or less says, I get annoyed with commentary focusing on the feet on the rope saying he cheated. It was a fatal four-way, so no DQ and no rope break. That's not true. There is a rope break because it's not a falls count anywhere match. Now, that being said, I don't know necessarily if it's illegal to put your feet on the ropes. I don't know that it's illegal for the person outside the ring technically to do that. So again, I think you're absolutely right about the feet on the ropes. There is no DQ. It's not illegal. That is a referee's discretion thing, but there are rope breaks. And the reason for that is technically under the ropes and on the ropes is outside the ring. That's the rules of wrestling. So right. You can't be pinned outside the ring unless it's a falls count anywhere match. But in a no DQ match, you still got to pin them in the ring.
Right. Right.
Luis hit me with a good one. Siri Kondo. It's Siri Kondo, who's probably my second, third favorite worker in the world, period.
Oh, by the way, speaking of strikes and Mike Bailey strikes, unfortunately, I feel like he can't do the back and forth thing anymore because Orange Cassidy's gonna beat. Orange Cassidy doing the Mike Bailey kicks was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in a wrestling match.
That one, like as far as Orange Cassidy funny moments, yeah, that one's up there with the Sting moment with him. And then the Pac moment where Pac rolled him into the ring and he just kept rolling all the way to the other side and then saw Pac and rolled the other way. That was up there. Max Power says, at the very least, Sting can very specifically thank AEW and Tony Khan, call him a great person for allowing him to induct Lex. I mean, and I did features called Inside the Royal Rumble a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And WWE brought in Mickey James knowing she was the Knockouts champion. And still, as she went out there, Vince tried to say, don't take the title out there. And they're like, she's got it. It was a part of the deal. You just never know. Brian Moore or less says, good point. Thanks for the info. I love rules, man. I love rules in wrestling. We have a lot of refs that actually watch this and will hit me up from time to time and be like, hey, just so you know, this is what they did wrong. This is what they did right. Clearing up some of those things. I love to learn this stuff.
Yeah.
Bobby Pants says, lucky to not need Blue Chew to get my buttons touched, but the Fightful does. Subscribe now to get your buttons touched in wrestling news. Buddy, you want Blue Chew. You want it. Even if you think you don't, let me tell you, you do. Jake says, for Sean's demonetization fund, what's up, you guys, earlier today? Best six in the business. Because I went off on somebody. I went off on the Tate twins or the Tate brothers earlier. That was a fun one. But dropped more F-bombs on that rant than I probably had the last few months. Hurt Syndicate vignette. And then we got MJF cutting a promo saying that, you know, they know he's a stallion. Bobby White sends a humper chat and says, I know I mentioned it last week to you, but now I feel more so. Next week, MJF getting his own team going. Maybe it's Dynasty, Hammerstone, and Richard Holiday. Really hoping for them. Do you think it'll happen? I'm so excited. Bobby White, I hope so, because what I keep thinking is, why didn't the Hurt Syndicate eventually put over Swerve? Because I was always under the impression it's because they were viewed as baby faces, of which they have not been performing as baby faces ever since then.
Right,
despite the crowd wanting them to be. Alex, how are you looking at this? I think Hammerstone and Holiday would be great in AEW.
I think so too. I think it'd be really interesting to see. It feels like if MJF rejects the Hurt Syndicate's offer, then whoever comes in as his guys are the contenders for the tag titles. You know, like that just because I don't think MVP would let that slide, that disrespect. So they would want to, you know, work that out in the ring. So that might be interesting. I don't think MJF will take up the offer. However, because it felt so weird that they would book the Hurt Syndicate, who are getting baby face reactions, in an extended squash versus the Outrunners, a huge fan favorite. If you're also trying to make the at least the Hurt Syndicate tweeners leaning face because the crowd loves them, it feels like if you're going to do that match, then you are really trying to get them over as heels and only as heels. And one way to ensure that is to make them MJF's backup. I don't think you should do that, but that would definitely achieve that end. But I don't think that is the end we should be trying to achieve.
Well, Mercedes Moné almost achieved the end after taking that move from Billy Starks. Listen, I am so happy for Billy Starks. Listen, I think she should have gotten more wins on AEW TV, objectively.
Yeah.
They ran a nice video about her to educate the audience. And I mean, this is somebody, I've known her since she was 16, 17 at this point. I've worked shows with her, for the love of God. Like, I've worked a number of shows with her. She's a Kentucky kid. Her father has had the distinct pleasure of photographing my matches that I'm sure serve as a career highlight for him. But I mean, like, I don't know if a lot of people understand how ingrained in this region that her family, that are, like, her father is one of the top photographers in wrestling, especially in our region. So, like, everybody knows him. Everybody's pulling for Billy Starks. And she has been put in a lot of big situations. Two major matches with Athena, and now a major TV match with Mercedes. And I thought she did a wonderful job. Like, she is, I think she's 20.
Yeah.
And Chi-Town Spurs says, strongest night of women's wrestling in company history. Tremendous matches, both leading to big-time angles. The division is strong enough to do this every week. Can't wait for Dynasty now. Well, Alex, let me hear your thoughts. What did you think here? Because I know a lot of people are looking at that post-match interview with Mercedes and saying, uh-oh, it's happening. And
yeah,
boy has some news on Fightful Select about it tomorrow. 2LT Photos is poor Renee. But I'm digging around, and I finally got some firm info tonight, and I see why, but feelings on this match.
It was great. Is one of Mercedes, certainly the best one we've seen on TV. The ones she had with Stat on the pay-per-views, the one with Momo, she always brings it on the big pay-per-view matches. But going back to when she wrestled Stephanie Vaquer, like, she's just been amazing stuff, but on TV, this was excellent. And Billy Starks really showed out and proved that she is the phenom that everybody has said she is. 500 matches by the age of 20 is a crazy statistic to be true. My favorite part was Taz being terrible at math. She's had 500 matches and she's only 20 years old. She stopped when she was 6. No, because she's 20. So it's like, it was just this, you know, it was anyway. I thought this was amazing. Some really hard strikes, and that crazy, like, that would look, was that like a version of the One Winged Angel? Like, that was, yeah, like, dropped her right down onto her head. That was crazy. I'm,
it
so
was
glad
phenomenal. I mean,
okay.
she's perfected that. I mean, like, she's done that move so many times. Like, she is, listen, man, she's a prodigy. There's no other way to say it. Yeah. Like, she is an absolute prodigy. She has done this for so long at this point that she's like a young vet. And of course, she's still learning. She's always, always improving. And she's going to keep improving as far as, like, in the ring goes, on the mic goes. Like, man, I'm just overwhelmed with, like, how well she did in this, but not just this spot, but the spots of Athena as well.
Right.
And this was sort of to preface the natural feud that seems to be Mercedes and Athena. And I think it was a great way to sort of kick that off. And again, I got some more news on that on FightfulSelect.com Thursday about what seems to be happening. But I thought this was incredible. Rafael Garcia says, somewhere in the ether of the wrestling universe, there's an SP3 and a TMD Kate with a single tear in their eye watching Large William, Big Billy Starks, have a great match with Mercedes. Great wrestling and on behalf of everyone. Ow. Yeah, I mean, Kate and SP3 stopped doing the ROH show, and now this is the biggest ROH moment that's happened.
Yes,
but not on the show. Yes.
Certainly not on the show. Nothing big happens on the show. That's the problem. Yeah. That's why they don't do that.
By the way, Bandito and Johnny TV are going to have a match this weekend.
Bandito speaking like some of the best English that, but he's been hiding behind the bandana mask.
Yes.
Was very, very good.
You know what I would do?
I was like, okay, cool.
I would just have somebody else under the bandana that speaks perfect English.
Yes.
Every time he does a promo and just swap him out. If he couldn't speak English. How has nobody ever done that yet? How has nobody ever
just get that? That's what we should be doing with Harley. Harley Cameron should cut all of Hologram's promos for him.
So
that's what we should be doing.
This is a pitch that I was given by a notable indie promoter, and I almost did it. I can talk about it now because I'm not going to do it. You remember Hanzo Mann from WCW Revenge?
Yes.
Okay, so it was the Hayabusa-based character. I had posted online, why hasn't anybody on the indies ever done this, like stolen these gimmicks, like for the love of God? And this guy that ran an indie, very successful, mind you, was like,
yeah,
here's what we should do. Occasionally, you should wrestle as Hanzo Mann. Then we'll get somebody like John Morrison to play him. And he'll do all this crazy shit. Then when we do the reveal, it's actually you. And I'm like, you know what? That sounds fun. But let me tell you, there's going to be a lot of moves that aren't going to be done when I'm under that mask.
Well, you could be doing that, or also you could crawl under the ring and then come out the other side, and it's actually John Morrison.
Yes.
And he does all the moves, and he crawls back under the ring, and then you come out and win and take off the mask.
I've mentioned this before. PJ Black, Justin Gabriel, had the best idea for the Adam Rose Bunny I've ever heard. Yeah. Like, he wanted the Adam Rose Bunny to do all this crazy, hardcore shit. Like, always lose, but just get his ass whipped so bad. Yeah. And then backstage, somebody sees it, like, and it's knocked out, beer bottle or like beer can by its head, and the mask is off, and it's Vince the whole time. And it's like that would have been very funny had they done that. But I'm not playing Hanzo Mann anytime soon. But no. Terry Allen Jr. says, which AEW theme songs do you pair enjoy? Hangman's is one of the best ever. I think if Lil Nas X put some lyrics to it, it would probably chart. But
both how about Hangman themes?
Yes.
The good guy theme. And I love the bad guy theme. The bad guy theme actually sounds like an old 1960s Western where the villain walks through the saloon doors for the first time and everybody goes quiet. Like, it's his theme song. I love both of those.
Swerve, naturally.
Swerve is
amazing. Is one of the best. Those are two of my favorites. Reese Power says, star-making performance by Mark Davis. He did great.
Great.
Jam Beard says, yeah, Alex, even better idea. Harley can do the voiceover for Morto, similar to the old Laparca stuff from WCW.
Yes.
I mean, Harley Graham doing Hologram's voice is also going to be good.
Yes.
Stereo Academy sent a very generous super chat, said big fightful muscle emoji. You didn't have much of another comment or question associated with that, but Stereo, if you want to send a question as well,
please.
It was a very generous one. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Really appreciate you. Jambeard says, I say run back to Monet and Starks rematch at Dynasty to help fuel the Monet Athena storyline. I don't know if you need to run it back. She won pretty decisively. I'm good with that, but
I don't know that you need to. I would wonder what the programs for Mercedes are between now and All In, if that's where you're doing it.
Yeah.
Because we have a lot of time between now and All In. So I would wonder what she would be doing other than this. Maybe not Dynasty, but maybe we do it again at Double or Nothing. And that's where she's like, you know what, kid, I'm done with you. And tries to take a few liberties after that match. And that's where we get Athena coming out to stop it. Maybe that's what we could do.
Hangman enters the Owen. Jam Beard says, how stacked do you think the Owen becomes so far? It's Osprey and Hanger. Could see Christian and Cope in it. Swerve maybe as well if he loses the pay-per-view. I love the idea of adding Christian and Cope for obvious reasons. They knew him. They worked with him. I don't know that you add Jeff Jarrett again this year. He seems to be off just not being on TV. But if you wanted to say that's how he is trying to get his last title shot, I'm never going to have a problem with Jeff Jarrett being in the Owen Hart tournament for obvious reasons. But I think he should lose opening round for that same reason. Yeah. If they can get Darby back, I think he's in it.
The biggest thing about this little segment to me was that Renee framed it as, well, we now know for sure is going to get Jon Moxley versus Swerve at Dynasty. With that in mind, here's Hangman Page. And I was like, yes. Oh no, what's he going to say? But all he said was like, I did say that I would never let Swerve become champion again. And I am nothing if not a man of my word. And I was like, but not for this one though, right? Like for this, you recognize that it's in the best interest of this company you love to help Swerve become the champion. And you do that as some kind of penance for the horrible wrong you did him, even though you know he will never apologize for the horrible wrong he did you, because inside, Hangman, you are a good man.
Yes. We got a world championship match to talk about, but I want to let you all hear from our wonderful sponsor, NordVPN. There's no sponsor that I use more while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. Man, this is like the Swiss Army knife, the multi-tool of applications. It does a little bit of everything. You always get a great deal at NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can listen to your favorites abroad. You can shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourself on public Wi-Fi, and it works on all your devices and operating systems. It doesn't end there. Change your virtual location and then get pay-per-views at a much more affordable price, TV services at a much more affordable price. You got a password manager, a file encryption tool, threat protections, and on top of that, 24/7 tech support. So if for some reason you don't know exactly how it works, NordVPN.com/FIFA will help you learn how to do it. Check it out, NordVPN.com/Fightful. A lot of stuff happened in this match. Cash Wheeler continues to feud with whatever environment he does a suicide dive around. Wheeler Yuta continues to get involved in everything. Mm-hmm. Took a great table bump.
Yeah.
Willow confronted Marina, who broke up another great false finish, and that match is naturally built and ready to go. Pac is back. They're actually going to defend the trio's titles against, I believe, Action Andretti and Top Flight.
No,
FTR.
AR Fox and Top Flight.
Fox and Top Flight. Yeah. My bad. I forgot. Action Andretti switched to Leo Rush.
Alignments.
Yes, yeah, switched alignments. Well, listen, there's one thing that people want to talk about regarding this. Mm-hmm. And after 15 years, Alex. Mm-hmm. Of a spiked piece of wood being swung, by Abyss when it was Janice, and it would go into the turnbuckle and we'd go, ooh. We physically saw it get used. Now, one time they wrote off Rob Van Dam with it, but we didn't see him get hit with it.
Right.
And we always think, well, how in the hell can you do it? Well, you could gimmick them, of course.
Sure.
Jon Moxley said,
no,
bump that.
Yeah,
we're not gimmicking anything.
I drove 11 hours in a blizzard to take this bump and this bump only. This is why I get up in the morning, says Jon Moxley.
One of the grossest things I've ever seen on TV. I can't believe that this got approved. It's not for me, certainly, but I greatly respect what happened here.
When I saw it happen, when I saw the bump happen, I was like, those have to be gimmicked. Like they've got rubber tips at the end. You know what I mean?
God,
but when he sat up and it was embedded in his back, I was like, nope. Your tetanus shot better have a tetanus shot.
And then Yuta pulls
no chance.
Yuta pulls it in the skin. Nope. Now listen. Jon Moxley knows more than me. I've mentioned this before. I remember when I was getting my hair sawed off with a hook knife by Awesome Kong, and Jon Moxley's mom was like holding my stuff for me. And I was like, man, this woman's probably freaked out. Then I thought about it and I said, this shit don't register to her. It didn't even hit the top 100 craziest things she had seen in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And most of those were with Moxley and WWE.
Yeah.
Like, D'Lo Diggs sends it a humper chat and says, in the words of Mike Tyson, final.
Yeah.
He likes it. He says, better than expected. Hated Mox and Cope having a rematch, but it having that slot made it more palatable. Bane and Stack killed it in the main event. We need a women's version of Meaty Men slapping meat. Luis, and on ones like that, let's put it on the more appropriate one,
because
I want to talk about this gross spot, like Tim McFall saying that mock spot is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. It was under the ring. How unsanitary can you get? Way more gross than Hangman Swerve. I agree. This was significantly worse than the syringe through the cheek. Way worse.
Yeah. I mean,
because this was multiple.
I didn't enjoy it. This thing is not for me.
I hated it.
I'm not going to be like, oh, we shut the whole thing down. Call the health department. Like, there are people who are reacting to it in a way that are like, nobody should be allowed to do stuff on AEW anymore. And I'm like, this is John Moxley going back to his deathmatch roots and loving every minute of it. It's definitely not for me. I didn't like it, but at the same time, that is a crazy thing. When you think of the context of there's a blizzard in Omaha, I can't get a flight, I'm going to drive 11 hours for this. This is the thing I'm driving 11 hours for. That's not
less offensive to us than Goldberg versus Lesnar when it happened. The night that wrestling died. One, I believe it was.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep. We were more bothered by that, retrospect, I'm like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
But at the time, we were so fed up with the shit that we were given to watch.
Yes. Yeah, we were.
We were like, are you serious? Really? Yeah. This? Yeah. Again, not for me. I don't like this type of stuff. I don't like
honestly,
ultra-violent wrestling.
The bump itself did not affect me. Him sitting up. With it still in bed, I was like, oh, that's not good. Wheeler Yuta trying to pull it out and not being able to. I was like, there's some barbs of that metal. There's slivers of metal that are like hooked in that you can't get it out. And that, I was like, nah, no, I don't like that. Mm-mm. I'll watch a horror movie where a guy gets his head chopped off. Not a problem. But watching like medical footage, can't do that with the nope. Mm-mm. So it's a bit.
Yeah. This was one of the grossest wrestling moments I've ever seen on TV. Mm-hmm. And people are like, oh, it's nothing compared to XPCZ. I don't give a shit. I don't watch it. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't watch it. So, I'm not going to have a frame of reference for that.
Yeah.
When I go to GCW and the death matches come on, listen, I'm socializing. It's not for me. I'm squeamish.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It ain't for me.
No.
But damn, this was unreal. Blanton says, was this the sickest move? Maybe. But remember the time Cash Wheeler ripped his arm open on the turnbuckle and they kept showing the replay.
Ugh. Yeah, that was the accidents. Like, I agree to take this bump and it looks really painful are very different to me than something went horribly wrong. Like those are the ones that I really have concern about.
Jane Beard says Renee and Beth probably on a call together during the match, asking each other what the F are they doing? Meet Norma says Spike getting stuck in Mox back on TV. Swerve versus Mox will be a snuff film involving chainsaws, gas cans, and all the light tubes. Jeez Louise, bruv. Yeah, like, listen, what do we do next? The Berserker and Drew McIntyre got to stab somebody now.
Yeah, they do.
You've got to kill somebody with a sword.
That's right.
It's the only way. Jordan S. says... Okay, like I thought Cope would use Spike, but I never thought he would use Spike.
Yeah.
That was sick. Reminded me of Cash's injury, but the FTR stuff made no sense. What was the point on the whole Mox Death Riders feud now? It should have been Jay. So we are about to talk about that, but I will say this. I thought if we were to ever see something like that, it'd be on pay-per-view. Like, had they done that during the main event of the last match?
What? Why was this exact thing not the main event? Like of the pay-per-view, this match with this stipulation, with these guys coming back from injury, like take the whole thing up. Like that's the, and I guess you had to run the FTR thing post their post-match thing with Undisputed Kingdom. But other than that, everything else could be part of this as well. I certainly would not have objected so vociferously to this being the main event slot of the pay-per-view as opposed to the other match. I still think it should have been Mariah and Tony over this, but I would have had less of a problem if it's this match with this spot in it where you have no idea what might go wrong, you know, like, yeah.
So another interesting, multiple interesting elements here. And I know that Moxley views this as like the bloodline angle of AEW. Don't think it's ever going to be that. Hope it doesn't last anywhere near that long. No. Hopefully we're in about the eighth inning right now with a sizable lead. But Nick Wayne showed up. Kip Sabian showed up. And Nick Wayne got scolded by Christian last week and then tried to act on his own. Mm-hmm. And I wonder what that means for the future. Because Cope ain't going anywhere. Like, I know people were like, man, he got a standing ovation. Was he rapping? He ain't. No, he's signed.
No,
he's got time on his deal.
No, the standing ovation is because you took up 4 months of our lives trying to get the title off of Mox and didn't. Thank you for your service. Go away now.
And listen, maybe it's me just fantasy booking here, Alex, but I am looking at Dax Harwood walking out on Adam Copeland, seemingly out of nowhere. Uh-huh. And then I am looking at Christian Cage's two buddies acting without him in a match of which they were all involved in. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know what would be really good at AEW All In? FTR versus Adam Copeland and Christian Cage. Copengaging. There we go. I'm just saying.
Interesting. They are definitely at least super hinting at heel FTR, because the way that they are reacting after winning and losing matches against Undisputed Kingdom, who are nominally baby faces, is that they won't shake hands after they lose to them, and they won't shake hands after they beat them. That's heel behavior. They came out to help Adam Copeland, who tried to help him. He ended up losing, and then Dax walks out, and Cash doesn't, but you can tell he's going to be on Dax's side eventually. So are you saying we're going to have Christian Cage turn babyface to team with Copeland against heel FTR, or are we just going to do a great tag team from the past versus the greatest tag team ever, maybe? Just because.
That's a tough one. That's a really tough one.
Because I think if Copeland and Cage get back together, it's got to be as old guys who hate everybody. You know what I mean?
Topical. Here we go. Topical. One of my favorite tag teams of all time is Sting and Lex Luger. And I've mentioned to you why a number of times. Sure. Sting is as nice, good babyface as possible. And he knew that Lex Luger was an asshole. Yeah. Like, Lex Luger wasn't like an MJF level piece of shit or anything.
Right.
But he knew he was an asshole. But that's his dude. Sting's loyal. That's why Sting got so upset and turned into the Crow. Because some of the people he was most loyal to, when he shouldn't have been loyal to them, were like, "Well, we can't trust you." And he's like, "Can't trust me, bitch. What?"
Right.
That's how I think Cope and Cage should be. Like, Cope knows that Christian's a piece of trash because he's experienced it. But it's his piece of trash, man. Right. It's his buddy. That's what I like. 2LT Photo says we need that Habitat for Humanity house rebuild for Hangman. Guys, we are heading down the home stretch. Get your super chats, get your humper chats in. Bunch of new videos on the channel this week. On Thursday, I finally was able to recover a short interview that I did with Brian Danielson in December. When you watch it, you'll be able to see like a bit of a jump cut that was there because the video messed up a little bit. But very excited for you guys to see that. I did 2K player ratings this past week. Spent an hour doing that. I used to do a lot of mods for like EWR and WMMA3 back in the day. So I'm very passionate about overall ratings and the likes. So did that. Me and Jimmy Van have a new series. It's going to go about 7 episodes where we look at his collection. Tomorrow, or actually yesterday, we looked at what he actually purchased from Matt Cardona, which is one of the largest LJN purchases in history. He's going to look at a whole lot of other stuff along the way as well. And then we also dropped a new video, Fightful Presents. We've had 4 of these now. One on the New Japan defection to WWE in 2016. One on the history of Tribute to the Troops. One on the TNA AEW or the TNA WWE Monday Night War. And then we just dropped one on Heroes of Wrestling, which is known as the worst wrestling event ever. Truly an event that Alex should have covered by now on Fightful Select. Maybe we can get him to do that. Check all of those out. And I got an interview with Evan Husney of Dark Side of the Ring dropping. If you want to see these early, tier 2 of Fightful Select. Will Ospreay defeated AR Foxes again was a sprint, as you mentioned, but a very good sprint. But I think sometimes you need to have these short matches. Yeah. You can't condition everybody to think Ospreay's going to wrestle 15 minutes every time.
There's just something about I've always loved about AR Fox.
He's so good, man.
He's so damn good. And it's one of those things that you watch how good he is, and he can measure up athletically to anybody in the world. There's got to be some frustrating thing what he doesn't wind up being a superstar about all this stuff. And I love that's part of almost every match he wrestles, especially against somebody as good as Will Ospreay, where you can have that amazing counter for counter athletic exhibition to start the match like crazy. And then there's a stalemate. And then Will Ospreay's like, hold on, I got to catch my breath, my ribs, my hip. You know what I mean? And then you're like, okay, this guy is almost as fast as me when I'm 100%, and I ain't 100%. How am I going to beat this guy? Like, Will Ospreay telling that story with that moment in the corner, looking up at AR Fox going, I don't know if I can beat this guy in the condition I'm in right now. I know I could beat this guy 100%, but I am busted up. This is going to take everything I've got to beat this guy. And AR Fox putting everything he's got into it. This was a really, really, really fun sprint with probably the top guy in the world, if not just the company. And then AR Fox, who's a brilliant lower mid-card athletic phenom. And you just get to go out there and wrestle as hard as you can while telling that story of Will Ospreay nursing the injuries for 6-7 minutes. And it hits all the points it's supposed to. You get out, and then you have that great moment at the end where he's leaning over the ropes and looks up at All In, and you can tell and Shivani did a really good job too. If he doesn't get himself healthy, there's no way he can win that tournament.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we also got, I think right after this, or right around this time, we got Hangman Page saying that he's gonna be in the tournament as well. So if you start having all these guys doing the murderer's row of these people that Will Ospreay is going to have to face 2 or 3 or 4 of these amazing heavy hitters in this tournament, because I think we all expect Will to come out and win the tournament and go on to All In. Now, because he seems to be such the favorite and everybody thinks he's going to do it, stacking up all these guys he's got to face one after the other when he's still nursing the injuries from Revolution that can never fully heal because he keeps going so hard all the time. That's a really cool story to get into that main event of All In.
Tom LaValle says, I disagree that this would have made, or the spike spot would have made the match better. This match would have died after Ospreay Fletcher too. Spike spot would have stood out, but it would have made a bigger impact tonight. Oh, I don't think that it should have been the main event. I always will think that Tony and Mariah should have main evented. But the same match that they had at Revolution would have also not been over earlier in the night. It would have been over more.
Right.
But yeah.
Now, collision. This would have been, this match from tonight would have been way better than the match they had at Revolution, but it still would not have been able to measure up to everything before it.
Collision on Saturday, Julia Hart and Queen Aminata Max Caster Open Challenge, Don Callis Family versus Rocky Hobbs and Briscoe, and then Adam Cole versus Daniel Garcia TNT title match. We are getting the Sunday lineup as well, but doing the Slam Dunk Saturday and Slam Dunk Sunday. I think it's only supposed to be like an hour each.
It feels like two nights back to back of great Rampage episodes.
Yes.
I used to love doing the Rampage watch along because it was always five matches. They were always fun, in and out, an hour, really fun stuff. I'm looking forward to experiencing these shows in that format.
Yeah, and they got Death Riders, Top Flight, and AR Fox for the Trios title, Bandido versus Johnny TV, Harley Cameron, and then I cannot pronounce Titanes del Air versus LFI. That's going to slap. That's going to be insane.
It's going to be an amazing
match. But I know that even if it's late, they like that for Collision, and they love getting the sports lead in. WBD loves it, AEW loves it. If anything, it is a commercial for look at the different stuff that we do from what you're probably used to watching. But Megan Bain defeated Chris Statlander. Sirloin beef, sons of misses right here. Oh my God. This is that shit we like. A meat match. James Branch said, not afraid of anyone named Bain. I get my back broken every night, says Tony Storm. Says, let's go, Juice. So Tony was great on commentary, really sold the danger that she might be in facing either one of these women.
Right.
And Jambeard says, would have said Megan going for this title was too fast. But the thing I really love about her win streak is it's all former champs. Yes. I have been begging for something like this, Alex. One of the things I love about Penta challenging Bron Breakker on Raw, he's won a bunch already. He should be challenging Bron Breakker. Megan Bain, she's winning a bunch. Yeah. They brought this woman in and immediately told you she was important, she was good, she was strong, and she was a threat. And for all the times you bring people in and people go, oh man, they're a future star, future champion. You can only be that future thing for so long. Ellie De La Cruz was a great player immediately. Ken Griffey Jr. was a great player immediately. LeBron James was great immediately. Sometimes these people need to be shown as being great immediately, and that's what they're showing from Megan Bain right now.
Yeah. Boy, when she figures out how to hit the curveball, she's going to hit 270 with 20 home runs one day. But no, you actually book her to be a Hall of Famer. It's from the very beginning, and that's what they're doing. I love it.
Came in with a plan for Mariah May, and look how well it worked.
This is the whole thing. Mariah May also helped to sell Megan Bain from the beginning. Megan Bain making her debut in that casino gauntlet that Tony eventually won to be able to face Mariah May at Grand Slam. And Mariah May on commentary basically the entire time was, she's too large, she should be disqualified for being too big. She kept putting over how she was scared of the potential of having to face Megan Bain while on commentary during Bain's first match. So then we have Tony Storm this whole time also selling being scared while breaking Mr. Chavone. Like that was, I love her on commentary, and apparently, and I don't get this because I don't have the whatever AEW Plus or whatever it is. During the picture in picture, she's even more lewd. Like she's just dropping crazy things and breaking them. But she
always she was is. So great. Oh my God,
she was so great.
It was Meat Norma says making two kinds of ribs since you got two women's matches. The second was a meat fest. Megan should beat Tony and send her to therapy with a Dalton Castle. I would be all for Megan Bain immediately winning the world title. I would.
Sure.
She uses an F5 as a finish. Give her the Brock path. The fact that she has already lost matches earlier in her AEW career is too much. I mean, push her big. Amir says, if you had to bet, who do you think is winning, the Owen, Hangman, Darby, or Ospreay? If I had to bet, I'd say Darby, and I don't think it should be.
I mean, I guess, listen, if Moxley somehow, God forbid, is still the champion going into All In, then it's absolutely going to be Darby if he's healthy and, you know, not frozen to the side of a mountain. But if he's around, they'll do it. They'll pay off on that storyline from way back in August when Moxley told him to his face, you're never going to be champion one day. That is usually code for not only are you going to be champion one day, but you're going to beat me to do it. That is usually what wrestling code is. So I get that part. But if it's not Moxley, if Swerve beats Moxley, please, 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 then it should absolutely be Ospreay winning that tournament and going in and facing Swerve again. I think that would be really, really cool.
By the way, Billy Stark's father says that that 500 number is probably off by a lot. It's probably closer to 550 or 600 because a lot of the Grindhouse shows, which is a place I went and trained at for my Shaza match, like a lot of those don't get tracked. Like a lot of those don't hit cage match.
Yeah.
They're very intimate. Dave Cost says, hey, fellas, sorry if you covered this. Are you surprised they didn't dive in deeper with Max Hanger after the pay-per-view? Well, first off, even if we have covered it, if you all want to super chat about it, we will talk about it again. We don't mind doing that. If you guys want to invest in us, we will talk about it. But we didn't cover this. I'm glad they didn't dive deeper into it, Alex. I think sometimes having a good 4, 5, 6 week feud with one match is a good way to go about it. Like, I think that's sort of lost today where everything is, oh, well, it's like a best of three or it's 50-50 or something like that. I think sometimes you just need to have a good short feud, a quick or a good match, and then they move on for the time being. But how did you feel?
Yeah. I agree. I don't think everything needs to be a trilogy, you know? And also, it can be a trilogy. Just run back a few months from now, and everyone goes, remember that amazing thing they had a while ago? Looked like it was done. It's not done. You know what I mean? And you do that a second time, and then you have another time. But FTR and the Bucks had the feud that was over the course of like 2 years. You know what I mean? And I think you can do that too. It doesn't need to be like, all right, this isn't over on the Dynamite after the pay-per-view. And then at the next pay-per-view, you do it again. It doesn't have to do that. So,
Alex, tell the people where they can find you, support you, and check out what you do.
You can find me on all the social medias at Alex Sour Graps. You can find me at Fightful Select, where Kate and I will review Raw on Mondays. And then on Fridays, I review the first 2 hours of SmackDown while watching the third hour of SmackDown. And usually I'm done reviewing those 2 hours by the time the main event rolls around. So I just end up doing commentary and funny voices. It's a lot of fun for everybody. So come up, come and hang out. And then every time there's a pape or a play, Kate and I will be back behind the paywall doing a review. Although I believe she's trying to go to Dynasty. So I might have to hit up old SP3 and see if he can guest for a Dynasty.
Would definitely make sense. Guys, I am at FightfulSelect.com. But in addition to all the stuff that we promoted, the news stories, the Q&As, the Discord, the Sour Grap shows, all that stuff, $6 a month, mind you.
Yeah.
Like half as much as the competitors. We also have an incredible amount of archived content. Like Alex has reviewed a ton of movies. Like that stuff doesn't age. You can tune in, watch a whole bunch of good stuff like that. I did alternate commentary on a bunch of stuff. We did retro reviews, all kinds of great stuff. James Zimmerman wraps us up with a humper chat that says, if Bane wins, Willow it all in. That one would make a lot of sense because Willow is being positioned as the flag bearer of AEW against Marina Shafir. And I think that that's the thing. Like, does Marina lose the match that she has after all this? I think so, but I mean, she has benefited greatly from this angle. I would argue that Marina has benefited the most of anybody from the Death Riders angle.
Yeah, but I mean, you can easily have Marina win the, if you're doing Willow at All In, then you could easily have Marina win the first one on a Dynamite versus Willow, and then Willow get her back at Double or Nothing.
Yeah.
And then that propels her to you know, to the title match there, possible.
Well, guys, propel into that subscribe button. We would greatly appreciate it. Thank our moderator, Luis. Until next time, my friends. We're out.
If you work in quality control at a candy factory, you know strict safety regulations come with the job. It's why you partner with Grainger. Grainger helps you find the high quality and compliant products your business needs to inspect, detect, and help correct issues. And the sweetest part is, everyone gets a product that's as safe to eat as it is delicious. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.